Psalm 91, are you ready? I'm going to read through part of this. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. And he goes on in verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. It's not going to come near you. He talks about giving his angels charge over you. No plague nor calamity shall come near your dwelling. And he talks about all these blessings of being in the secret place. How many are familiar with Psalm 91? Maybe that's a standard for us, right? And many of us quote a lot of these promises in our daily confession. I'm always confessing. He gives his angels charge over me. 1,000 shall fall at my side, right? No plague shall come near my dwelling place. So we know there's blessings connected to this, but it all ties to verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in all of this. And the question arises, what I want to talk on today, is what is the secret place? What's the secret place? And I've already heard at least one guess. The rest of you are afraid to answer. Some of you already know the answer. And are not permitted to say. China forgot already.
I was there. You have to ask
this. I got you. The question arises because I've heard it preached on many different ways. What is the secret place? I'm hearing in his presence. The original answer was always the prayer closet. The secret prayer closet. If you abide in the prayer closet, you're in the secret place. But I know multitudes of Christians who are called ministers may spend hours a day in prayer. They're not manifesting any of this. Very little. They pray, but they're not seeing supernatural blessings overtake them. You follow me? Some people said in his presence. I know many people that have spent much time in God's presence are not seeing this manifest. Now, here's the thing. How many have heard of Catherine Kuhlman? Catherine Kuhlman carried the most powerful, miracle anointing of any woman probably ever. People be healed 100 miles from her meetings and the anointing on her life. She lived in the presence of God. Flowed in it. Flowing gowns. Speaking by the Spirit of God. Died a horrible, painful death. Never tapped into any of these promises. Y'all bear with me. I don't believe the presence of God is a secret place. Because you can be in God's presence and still get your tail feathers plucked. You guys with me so far?
Yeah.
Now, Pastor Callahan, my spiritual dad, went on to be with Jesus in March of 2021. It'll be 5 years this March. Wow. He preached the secret place as the Word. He dwelt because the Word is the place of mysteries. See, that Word, you can memorize the Word and have no comprehension of how to live by faith. You can quote scripture left and right and not manifest them. But he said it's the place of mysteries. If you have a revelation of the Word, you can see this come to pass. You follow me. And I think that's good. But again, I've met many Christians that could spout word left and right, but had no comprehension of how to win by faith. Are you with me so far? So I was reading the other day. In fact, it was Thursday, because we have Bible study on Thursday night. And I'm reading it, and it was like I had a revelation of what I believe the secret place is. And you can receive it or not. I mean, it's not a big deal if you don't agree with me on this. But I believe the secret place is the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
See, the kingdom is where this comes to pass, when you learn to live out of the kingdom. These are all promises of the kingdom. And understand, when you got born again, did you give your life to Jesus? Did you invite Him to be Lord and Savior? Right? Receive the Spirit of God inside of you? When that happened, you became a son of God. And all daughters are sons as well, right? If you're not a son, you don't get the inheritance. Men and women get to be sons. And men and women will be part of the bride. So it cancels out. That as sons of God, we become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. It says in Ephesians 2:6, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You are a kingdom citizen. And because you are now an heir of all the kingdom blessings and promises of God. Jesus died to leave us an inheritance. And it's the ability to live out of the kingdom. And we understand when Jesus came to teach on earth, and I've asked this question many times. In fact, let's go there. I believe it's Matthew chapter 7, since we're just kind of being led by the Spirit right now. Matthew chapter 7, I was right. You knew that, didn't you? Right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not should be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand. And of course, the storms come, and that house falls. So he compares two groups of people. Those that build their house on a rock and those that build their house on a sand. Now, who's the rock?
Jesus.
I want to present to you Jesus the Word. That's the rock. Man is made of the earth. He's the sand. He's the dirt. And a house is built on soil, not founded on a rock, represents somebody that's living as a Christian out of their own effort, their own strength, their own determination, their own intellect. They're living out of the natural, even though God's birthed them as a supernatural being. Yes. And he says, he that heareth these things of mine and doeth them, builds on the rock. I'm about to share something. Are you ready? He that hears and doesn't do builds his house on the sand. They both hear. One does and one doesn't do. I've always heard the one that hears and doesn't do is in disobedience. He's rebellious. I don't have a problem with that. You follow me? Some people hear what God says and they won't follow it. And please understand, the babies don't bother us at all. We love it. We're so excited you're here. Welcome home. I've always heard taught, some hear and obey, and some hear and disobey. One does, one doesn't do. I want to present a different concept to you this morning. Are you ready for this? Perhaps they hear and don't do because it's a secret place message that they're not getting the revelation of what they're hearing. Let me give you an example. Does the Bible say by the stripes of Jesus we are healed?
Yes.
We were healed.
Yes.
By his stripes we were healed, right? 1 Peter 2:23-24. And it's in everybody's Bible.
Yes.
But not everybody receives the revelation of what it's saying. So even though they heard the same word, one has a revelation and does it. One has a revelation and doesn't even comprehend what it's saying. It could be those that are building on the sand or on the dirt, on man's ability, are doing so because, not because they're rebellious, because they're ignorant. We hear the same word, but one's the secrets are revealed, and one, they're clueless. I made a Facebook post several years back. I reposted it yesterday. The disconcerting thing about clueless people is they're clueless that they're clueless. Should I say that again? The frustrating or thing of concern about clueless people is that they're clueless that they're clueless. And this applies to Christianity. People that are well-meaning. You pray they love God. Born again. When you talk about living by faith, what? I'm of the Baptist faith, or, you know, whatever. They're clueless of what you're talking about. They think you're crazy because you believe there's a kingdom we can dwell out of. There's power of God available. And you access it by faith, and they're more the will of God wants to. It's cluelessness. And I want to present to you this morning, I believe the second group that builds on the sand are clueless. Now, if you're in here, I'm about to say something. Get your toes out the right step on. If you're in here and you're hearing the word and you're not doing it, you're not clueless. You're rebellious. Did you follow me? Keep your toes out there, Patty. If we're talking about how to live by faith and we're not taking any effort to do it, how to live holy and we're not taking any effort to make change, that's rebellion. But much of the church isn't in rebellion against the word, they're just oblivious to the word. Why? It's a secret place. They can quote the same scriptures you can, but they don't have the revelation of what it really means. Stayed in secret mystery. Paul said, I revealed to you a mystery. Amen. Hidden from ages and generations. Which is Colossians 1:27, right? Hidden from ages and generations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's called us to walk in glory. Not when we die, He's called us to it now. Man, I want to go about 14 different directions at one time. But I got to explain this. We're called to glory now. Not for you, because you know this. But other people are hearing this, you know, in recorded fashion after Charles cleans it up. The videos have you jerking all around. You splice it together. We are called to walk out of the kingdom. We're called to step into the glory of God now. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 60, because I need to show this to you. And I know most of you can quote this, but you should be able to by now. Are you there? Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Who? But it doesn't stop there. For darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Amen. But His glory shall arise and be seen upon thee. The glory of God's coming on God's people at a time gross darkness is on the earth. There's no gross darkness in heaven. There's no darkness in heaven. It says darkness shall be on the earth. The glory's coming on God's bride, His glorious bride in the end times, to disperse, to destroy gross darkness on earth. Amen. So when Paul says, I reveal a mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory, he's talking about what we're to step in now. And God's got a people that are not clueless, that they've pressed into the kingdom and God's unveiling His word, and they're going, I can have this. I can live in this. And I'm going to make it a priority to do so. So if we hear about this and we don't do it, we become hearers of the word and not doers. We build on the sand because we're still living by our own strength, our own determination. I can do it. I took Dale Carnegie back about 1980. My company sent me because they know I was so poor at public speaking. We got to do something. He's a sharp guy. He's got answers, but he has trouble verbalizing them. Send him to Dale Carnegie. It didn't work. Only the anointing fixed that. Only the call of God. But they taught us, you had to do a different speech every week. Two of them, actually, 2 a week. Anybody ever take Dale Carnegie? Did you skip classes like I did? I skipped the ones where I had to speak to the big crowds. Anyway, one of the speeches you had to do was talk about something that you had to press through in life. And you would say in the middle of the speech, I can do it, I can do it, if I put my mind to it. I think you had to slam on the table too. Is that right? Did you have to slam? I can do it if I put my mind to it. Building on sand. I can do it through determination. And listen, determination is important in our life. But our determination must be to stand in faith. Yep. Trust in the kingdom. Speak the word. Not be moved by what we see, right? Abraham was not moved by the barrenness of Sarah's womb, or even the death of his own body. The deadness of his own body. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And so, those that build on the rock are those that hear the word, get a revelation of it, and apply it. So we've been talking about living by faith. How do we do these things? And if we went back to Psalm 91, in fact, go there. Psalm 91. See, this is one of the greatest revelations I've ever received. As I'm a citizen of the kingdom, I can have what the word says now. So many people wait until they die to tap into the things of God. Oh, I was on that. He that builds his house on the rock versus the sand, right?
Yep.
And Jesus said, if you obey these sayings of mine. Does it say that? Matthew 7:24. He that hears these sayings of mine and obeys them, builds on the rock. Here's a question I forgot to ask a minute ago. And you know the answers. What were the sayings of Jesus? See, I can ask this question in most churches. And I'll say, Jesus, if we obey his sayings, what were his sayings? Well, he taught about the cross. We taught about it a little bit, but not a whole lot. He taught about sin. He touched on it some, but really not a whole lot. He didn't touch about sin a whole lot.
And I don't have any wife.
Right? Well, he taught about the end times. Yeah, Matthew 24. Yeah, it's in there. But that wasn't the main gist of what he taught. What did he teach more than anything else? In fact, more than anything else combined.
The kingdom.
He said the kingdom of God is like. If you learn to function in the kingdom, you can have these results. And what he would do over and over again, over, I think, 138 times he mentioned the kingdom. I'm just guessing at the number from way back. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he would teach a kingdom principle. It's like sowing seed in the ground. And he says, the seed's the word of God. Sow the seed. You'll see a result. Kingdom of God. You can speak to a mountain and be thrown in the sea if you believe and don't doubt. And he would speak on it, and then he would demonstrate it. He'd speak about the kingdom, then heal all the sick. He'd speak on the kingdom. Right after he taught about the parable of the sower, he taught about the seed. You sow it, you sleep day and night. It brings forth fruit you don't know how. He's teaching on this seed. Immediately they go to cross the lake. And a storm rises up, they're about to sink. He demonstrates it. He speaks to the storm, peace be still. They get over there. They're met by at least one, if not two, demonically possessed people. So strong they break chains. He casts them out. He teaches the kingdom. He demonstrates the kingdom. Do you follow me? And he's teaching on how the kingdom operates. Before you go back to Psalm 91, go to John chapter 14. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yep.
Now, if this is new to you, please look in the Word. See if what I'm telling you is true. Because the church has been powerless. I mean, we can't even agree enough to shorten vote in elections. for the most part. We're to carry the power of God. We're to be healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead. John chapter 14, are you there? Well, let me get there. I'm in Luke. Praise you, Jesus. John chapter 14, look at verse 12. This is Jesus speaking. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I guarantee it's what that means. I guarantee it. Jesus speaking. He that believeth on me, do you believe on Jesus? The works that I... Now, I'm talking about when you get to heaven. Amen. You'll know Jesus then. We believe on him now. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, what did he do? Miracle manifestations. The works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, enabled us to be born again. He says, you'll do what I do if you believe. And most of the church believes in salvation, but they're oblivious to the kingdom. They're not cognizant that we can live above our natural abilities. And because we're not aware of it, I say we, much of Christianity, we build on the sand. Jesus said, see, building on the rock is more than just getting born again. It's living out of the kingdom that you see the promises of God manifest. Look at Matthew 16. Since we're teaching a message I didn't know I was going into today, let's go with it. But it's fun when it's like that, isn't it? Matthew chapter 16. Karen, let me know when this message is available online.
Give me a week.
Matthew 16. Jesus asked the disciples a question. Who do men say that I am? And they start guessing. Some say you're Moses, some say you're Elijah, one of the prophets. And they're just telling what the public discourse is out there. So he says, well, who do you say I am? Peter, how many know Peter? Was always the first to speak up. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had a revelation. It was real to him. Do you follow me? He'd seen some things, heard some things. So let's pick it up. I believe it's in verse 16. Let's look here. Let's go to 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, Peter received a rhema from God, a revelation that Jesus is more than just a man doing some good works. He was God. Son of God, right? Anointed of God. And so Jesus said, because you received a revelation, follow me. They didn't have the New Testament, then they had the Old Testament. But the Old Testament declared a Messiah was coming. That's what Peter was saying. You're the Messiah. Peter got a revelation of what the Word had promised to the level it became so real to him, he could speak it out. And Jesus said, revelation results in that you're blessed. See, if we want to function in the promises of God's Word, it's necessary we get a rhema, a revelation, out of the Word of what it's speaking to us available today. It's got to become genuine. It's got to become real. It's got to be substantial, tangible.
Yes.
First, we just walk around, I just believe in Jesus. Praise God, so does the devil. There's a place where you recognize I can live in the kingdom, in the promises of God. You got to get a rhema of it. It's So Jesus said, you're blessed. And he says, verse 18, I must say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now follow me. He says, thou art Peter, which means a small stone, and on this rock I'll build my church. They're not the same word. Peter is not the rock Jesus is building the church on. Jesus is the rock. In fact, here's what the real rock is. It's what Peter experienced. On this rock of getting a revelation of Rhema out of the Word, I'll build my church. Because it's the same secret place that once it's revealed, we can step in all the promises of the sign of Psalm 91 and of all the scriptures. The Rhema, the revelation of the Word, is the rock. Ask a question. Serious question. How many believe God's going to build the church, build his, how can I say, manifest his glory through a church that only knows the Word at a surface level? Yeah. But they're just trying to be good people.
No.
I mean, it's good to be good people, right? But as much as I know, it's just trying to be a better Christian. Well, you know, you can be more patient this week, or you can be more kind this week. But the Lord's not coming through that church. Why? Because they don't have a revelation of the supernatural to manifest the glory. And again, we've been teaching on it. I believe agape supernatural love is the substance of the glory, which you receive by faith, according to 1 Timothy 1:5. So, he's not going to build the church, if we use this term, on a dead church body. He's not going to build bring glory to the church body. Anybody have a problem with that?
Yep.
Is he going to bring the glory to maybe a church that speaks in tongues but has no revelation of the promises of God? No. Who's he going to bring the glory to? A church that has a full revelation of what God's revealing in these end times. How to live by faith and to manifest supernatural love and to live in all the blessings of the kingdom. A church that sold out the whole route without a doubt, right? A church that says, Jesus, have your way in my life. I die to self. I live for you. Whatever you need me to do, let's do it. And God's just bringing them revelation. See, I'm going 14 ways at one time. When I was younger, some of you will know what I'm talking about. There was a cold medication that was very common, advertised, called Contact. You remember Contact cold capsules? And the commercial went, it went like this. Each capsule contains 200 tiny cold medications or whatever. Time-release medications. So what it was is in that Contact capsule, whether it was true or not, I don't know. But apparently the medication was released in your system over time as each set of components was released at different times. And that's what the Word of God is. This is God's plan for all time in this book. But it's been time released. Did you know, now, who's one of the most famous revivalists of all time? Martin Luther? Remember Martin Luther? Did you know Martin Luther didn't know about divine healing and divine health? And you're saved by grace, right? Through faith in the cross. In fact, you go through history, and every time there was a denomination birth or move of God, there's release where the power was there, it was because they received a new revelation out of the Word, what was available to us. And there's revelations in this Word we don't know yet. Why? It's time-release Word. And there's stuff right now being released. There's stuff you've heard this morning you never heard before. But it's always been there. Exactly. Has anyone heard something this morning you've not heard before out of the Word? Something different. Well, thank you for the two hands going up. Let's get a full revelation. hearing stuff coming out of my mouth this morning I've never heard before. Spirit of God's here. The spirit of the teacher is here. I know it when I step into it. And God's unveiling his word over time to a people that are hungry to move forward. And he says, I'm going to anoint you with the glory. I'm going to bring in my harvest to that. I'm going to disperse the gross darkness. And you will see my glorious bride coming to full manifestation. And then the rapture. But it's people who get a revelation of the kingdom. So look at this. On this rock I'll build my church. It's not Peter. We don't watch it. I can't watch the TV shows about Jesus and stuff because they guess at what things mean and they're just confusing. And praise God for them because it helps people. But one came up the other day and they were teaching, yeah, Peter's the rock. No! I want to holler at TV? No! I won't holler now because I won't scare the kids. Or adults. No, Peter's not the rock. He was a small stone. A piece of the building process. Jesus, the Word. The kingdom's the rock. So look at the next verse. Look at this. I need you to see this. Verse number 19. This is what Jesus said. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He says, I'm going to give you the keys. Now again, what are the keys? Because I've heard preached, there's movies about it, that there's some set of keys, some phenomenal set of keys. Whoever owns those keys can control who goes to heaven or hell or, you know, unlock the gates of hell. This set of keys. Well, there may be a set of keys. I don't know, but I have trouble believing there's a set of keys that Jesus can't counterfeit or replicate. Or I said, well, now I have keys. Do you follow me? Now, I want you to see something in this verse. I give you the keys. Whatever you speak, heaven will back up. Now, I just had a new driveway poured this last week. And a pretty good sized driveway. And Patty's going like, why does it cost so much? I said, because it's not an easy process. I've worked with concrete before. You better know what you're doing to work with concrete if you want to look right. Is that right, Sean?
Yes, I'm loud.
What do you know?
And those guys earn their money.
Then you got to know what you're doing.
You can pour a good concrete slab and have a crack, you know.
So there's additives that's got to be put in it because of water temperature dropping below freezing. You got to know how to screed it, float it, brush it, window brush it, what to cover. I mean, how to form it. And to do a good job in concrete, those all become keys of working with concrete. Yes. Wayne works with Harley engines. And I'm guessing to tear down a knucklehead engine, there's some keys you got to know to put it together right. Amen. Probably different trades in here. Terry works in law. There's some keys if you want to be a usable attorney, you got to know what to do. Probably know the law. Would that be a key to working as an attorney? It helps you know the law. In fact, whatever you do, whatever trade you're in, if you're at home and you cook dinners, there's keys to baking a cake.
Yeah.
Patty has cooking shows on all the time. If it's not a Christmas movie, it's a cooking show. Or something about how some woman how to kill your husband.
Or sharks.
These ID mystery channels. Or sharks. But she has these cooking shows all the time, and I get exposed to them. Y'all pray for me. And yesterday, some guy was cooking a pie, and somebody left the oven door open on him. Instead of being at 350, the temperature was at 250, he's having a meltdown. The pie is not going to be baked well enough in the time I have, at the right time frame, because you've got to cook it at a certain speed, And it didn't turn out. Did he get sent home? You don't remember. Well, you saw 47 of them yesterday. He keep track of all of them. His pie didn't turn out. Why? Because there's a key to baking. It's got to be at the right temperature for the right time. The right ingredients. In fact, whatever you do, there's keys to it. And Jesus said, he wasn't talking about a natural set of keys. He's talking about keys to functioning out of the kingdom of heaven. There's things you got to know about the kingdom if you want to function in it. And he says, he gives one right away. See, it's right there and people read it and don't see it. He says, I give you the keys and whatever you speak, heaven will back up. The power of words. Death and life is the power of the tongue. What percentage would you say of Christians understand? Let me see how long I've been going. 41 minutes? We're halfway. It's in the Word, all through the Word. There's power in what we speak.
Yes.
Death and life's in our words. We have authority based on what you believe, what you say. You can come out of a mountain and be thrown in the sea. Genesis 1, God said, God saw. God said, God saw.
Yes.
Right? And yet we read past it. But Jesus is saying, that's a key.
Yes.
I gave you the keys, and here's the main one. I've given you authority that heaven will back up what you speak. What if you bind or loose? Heaven will bind or loose for you. In fact, this has to do with accessing a key that lets us function supernaturally.
Yes.
He didn't say, what if you speak? Earth will back up. Call your representative and tell him what you want. See if he follows through with it. Do you follow me? Oh, you represent some group of people. He can do what he wants to do. But yet, Jesus said, you speak it, heaven will back it up. There'll be supernatural results. Kingdom results. I give you the keys of the kingdom. So one is the words we speak. What's another one? We talked about it a minute ago, the parable sower. The kingdom is as if a man should sow seed into the ground. Right? The sower went out to sow. We speak the scriptures, and heaven releases power to produce what we've spoken. And we got so many miracle testimonies in here. In fact, next week when you're teaching on the kingdom, next week we're doing a teaching on what the kingdom's produced for some of the people in the church. Talk about your testimony. I think you did last week, right? I heard that. You're talking about what the kingdom's produced. Let me ask you a question. Karen, the miracles you've seen, I know you're not on camera right now, but the miracles you've seen, were they because you were determined to, produce them out of your own ability? No, you were trusting in the kingdom and spoke out of the kingdom. You accessed, you applied spiritual laws, kingdom laws, and you saw resurrection from the dead in your body.
Amen.
A kidney that was dead raised back to life. I've got to raise two people from the dead. Praise God. Why? I believe what the kingdom said. Our seed, the principles of faith. Faith worketh by love. Amen. In fact, I wrote the book on principles of the kingdom of heaven, right? A book on it. Those become kingdom keys. And Jesus said, I give you these keys, and listen, the keys let us build upon the rock. Is this coming together for you this morning?
Yeah.
Now back to Psalm 91. So I want to reread this a little bit. We'll go to some various verses. Follow along with me. He that dwelleth in the kingdom of heaven, with a revelation of what's available. Is that okay? He that dwelleth with the revelation of the kingdom of heaven shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, it says in Scripture that people were healed in Peter's shadow. What do you think will happen in God's shadow? The shadow means you're right there with Him. That's the presence of God. That's fellowship with God. That's walking with Him. He's leading you. You're Spirit-led. Do you follow me? But you need to be connected to the kingdom, functioning out of the kingdom, to see this happen. Amen. It says, shall abide under the shadow of Almighty? I will say the Lord. Why? Because I'm connected to the kingdom. He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, and Him will I trust. When you get a revelation of the kingdom, He, which really is in line with the Word is what you run to when you're in trouble. You go to the Word, what's the Word say? There's times I've been so bombarded. It's like every devil in the hell has been sent against me. That's what the devil does. He teams up on one person at a time. Or a few people. He's on my head, and I know this is the devil. But I'm being so bombarded. All I can do. Sometimes I feel all I can do is run to my Bible and just do this. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm not letting go of this word. I'm not letting go of your presence, of your promises. I don't feel a tingle on the top of my head, much less your presence is very strong. But the Word of God says, I have it. I have these promises. I'm not moving. Amen. And you grip to that. And He becomes Him in who you trust. He becomes your strong fortress. You follow me? How many know where to stand on a rock? There's been times I felt like just hiding under the rock.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's okay. Just to get in the Word and separate yourself to the Word and say, God, I'm connected to this. Now, you don't skip church, but you know what I'm talking about. Right? Verse 3, surely dwelling in the kingdom shall deliver you from the snare of the flat fowler and also pestilence. You stay connected to the kingdom, God will show you the pitfalls. He'll show you the traps. Verse 7. When you dwell with a revelation of the kingdom and you're applying it, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. But you shall not come near you. We're coming into a season. I'm not prophesying, I'm just declaring what I believe the Word's letting us know is coming. We're coming to a season, we're going to see a great falling away of Christians. And your challenge will come to the place that a surface relationship will produce. And you'll see 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but you're not going to move. Why? Because you're in the kingdom. And you see the difference. Trying to think of the right example. I ride Harleys. If somebody wants to give me an Indian, it's fine. And when you're out on your motorcycle, and mine will go pretty fast. You follow me? No matter how fast it's going, it's got style regardless. And I'll go past somebody on a scooter. Do you follow me? Now I know the scooter can't keep up with me. Amen. And I know it doesn't ride near as good as that Harley does. Not to mention I got heated seat and heated hand grips and whatever else. You follow me? I know that what I have is far superior to that scooter. So when we hit the interstate, which he's probably not allowed on, well, some of them are. Some of them are pretty powerful nowadays. We hit the interstate. I'm going to run off a lane if I choose to. And I'm probably going to choose to. See the scooter? See it? Beep, beep. 1,000 scooters shall fall at my side because they don't have what I have. trying to come up with an example you can comprehend here. Wayne's got it. Wayne's like it. Wayne's there.
Hondas.
See, the thing is, I can see them on a scooter, know they're not going to keep up with me. And when they fall behind, you follow me?
Yeah.
When they're trying to go 50 down the interstate, it's doing like this. I don't know why, because I can see it. But when a Christian fall away beside you, you won't be able to see the reason, but you'll know because you're dwelling out of a kingdom they're not functioning out of.
Yeah.
And because you have a revelation of the kingdom, and you know why things are falling, because they've refused to step into the revelation that you're walking in. When 10,000 fall away, when churches are closing, which there's a chance that will happen, you won't be threatened by it because you're in a different kingdom with a revelation of it. So he shall give his angels charge over you. How many speak that frequently?
Yeah,
I do all the time. Probably daily. Probably multiple times daily. Last night I was working on a pinball piece and it slipped out of my hands, and it was kind of heavy and sharp steel plates in it and stuff, and I didn't want it to hit my kitchen floor. So I stuck my foot out to stop it. When it hit, I realized, oh, I don't have your shoes on. I haven't looked at it yet. But I felt I want to put my boots on this morning. I was going someplace with that. I forgot to speak. He gives his angels charge over me unless I dash my foot against the pinball piece. But again, I'm okay. It just hurt for a few seconds. The angels watching over you are from a revelation of living out of the kingdom that God's got your back. You have all these promises available to you, right?
Yeah.
Let's go one more here in this. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come out your dwelling. We have been given authority to deliver us from sickness. And if I ask for a show of hands, I bet almost everyone here would say, I've been delivered from sickness at one time or another. Some of you have been delivered from some major things. Some of you wouldn't be alive today if not for faith in the Word. Loved ones wouldn't be alive if not for faith in the Word. And it's all the result of living out of the kingdom. So to sum it up, verse 1, he that dwelt in the secret place, I believe I presented evidence this morning, secret place is the kingdom of heaven. Because it's the only place you can reside that produces all these results. Did you get anything out of this?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know, Jesus taught on the kingdom, and then he would demonstrate it. Let me pray first. Father, I thank you, Lord God, in this church, there's no sin. There's none in pain. Oppression has no place here. We are free from discouragement and oppression. We tap into genuine, pure joy. Oh, there's no lack in any area. You have our next facility. You have all the money for it. You have all the money for our personal lives. We lack nothing. And there's no strife. There's no strife in this church. There's no competition, no envy, no jealousy, no jockeying for position. You bring us, or you create within us, covenant-minded people, protecting the unity of the body. I thank you, your blessings overtake us in every area, and we have divine encounters. All we speak your word, and we see people brought into your kingdom. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.